Hello, this is the Governance Committee of the Pacifica National Board. We're having our monthly meeting November 8th at 8:30. I will be chairing the meeting. My name is Marcel Reed, and we will officially call the meeting to order. I have 8:47, and Nancy, would you do roll call, or if you don't want to, I'll do it.
I'm hearing. Okay, Marcel Reed?
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg? No. Nancy Sarbar and I told me, yes. John Winger?
Yes.
Yes. And Kevin White has resigned. Is it Jessica Polinar? No. Okay, Mal Bernstein?
Here.
Is it Stein or Steen?
Bernstein.
Bernstein, thank you. Mal Bernstein. And Kathy Davis? No. Okay, Gail Dixon? No. Sasha Futren?
Yes.
Yes. And where's my other list? Oh, I'm missing a list. Oh, there should be more people, right?
Bob Letterer.
Oh, Bob Letterer, yes.
R. Paul Martin.
R. Paul Martin? No.
He said last time that I don't think he could make the meeting.
Yeah.
And who else is there? I'm missing. Is there somebody else?
Brenda Medina.
Oh, yeah. Brenda Medina. No. Brenda? No. Okay. And
Tony Norman.
Oh, that Tony's here, right, Tony?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Tony's here.
Yes. Okay, so we have a quorum. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Great.
Okay, we may quorum. Okay. Do you have the minutes from the last meeting, the last couple of meetings?
Yes, I do, but they're kind of the 2 meetings ago, I did not post them yet. I did not send draft minutes yet. I apologize. The 2 meetings ago, we clarified who was going to be chair and a secretary, but wasn't quite clear or understood. So anyway, we did. Marcel and Nancy chair and secretary. I offered to be secretary if nobody else did. And in the last meeting, we had my notes are mostly informal discussion on the amended agenda. We spoke mostly about Mal's proposal for limited tenure, and then we spoke a little bit about quorum, about having no quorum, what constituted, and that's about it that we talked about. Last time was Mal, Bob, Sasha, R. Paul, Tracy, Marcel, and myself, and I think Tony was on.
Okay. Since you don't have the minutes in front of us, maybe we can just go ahead and postpone approval of the minutes until next meeting.
Sorry. Yeah, thank you.
No problem. No, we can just move ahead with it and wait until you finish the minutes, and you can send them out to us for us to take a look at. So we'll just make a simple motion to postpone accepting the minutes until our next meeting.
Okay. So moved.
Okay. Without objection. Okay. Now, does anyone have any additions that they would like to make to the agenda, or do we want to approve the agenda as submitted?
Actually, I have something I'd like you to consider, or at least consider considering.
All right.
I was talking with the woman who called me. I can't remember her name quickly because I think it might have been. Was it Nancy who called me?
Yes, Nancy.
Yeah. And we had a brief conversation. I'm a former treasurer of KPFK, and as such, as a treasurer, I was able to.
Would you identify yourself for the stream?
Sure. John Wenger, KPFK, okay. Local board.
Right.
And as a treasurer, I was able to see the budget. And to see actually the salaries, not only the KPFK employees, but also the employees of all the other stations. And because the NFC basically approves the budget after they come from the local board, and then after the NFC has done something, looked at it, thought about it, processed it, and they pass it on to the Pacifica national board. But the problem we have at KPFK is that we're not allowed to, as the treasurer is not allowed to share that budgetary salary information with the rest of the local board. Now, there's a policy that basically says, yeah, you can do it. You've got to basically fudge the figures, you know, give them, take the salaries and put a fudge factor of 10% on there and do it. But frankly, this is a pain to do, and it never gets done. And consequently, the local board doesn't get to see the salaries of their of the employees of their own station. And consequently, it's very hard for them to perform the fiduciary duty and to figure out, you know, where value is. Sometimes you have an employee that's doing great and, you know, they deserve more money, and you have other employees who aren't doing so great and they don't maybe deserve any money at all and maybe should be terminated, but we just don't have any insight. There's no view. And since we're kept in the dark and blinded, this is, to my mind, you know, a governance obscenity. Now, I'm in California here, and the mayor, Villaraigosa's salary is public. You know, Governor, you know, Brown's salary is public. You know, Obama's salary is public. People who
Excuse me, but could you just set an agenda item that you want to discuss
The agenda item would be to make a bylaw change to make the salaries of all station personnel available public, at least to the LSP members, and arguably public to the world.
Okay.
Could we put that in under new business? Should I just add that under new business?
Yeah.
Okay. Do we have any more amendments or additions to the agenda? None? Okay. Okay, we have tentatively picked the next meeting date, which is the first thing on the agenda. And now we will take a look at Mal's motion. Would you like to motivate your motion, Mal?
Yes. The point of the motion is that we have seen in the last year or so, more than that, actually, that the local station board, at least ours, and I believe this is true across the network, has been having less and less control over who runs the local station. I believe there are interim managers at most of the specific stations. We certainly had only an interim manager at KPFA for a long time now. And the board, the local board, has no control over that. So my motion is directed to that point, that interim or temporary managers should have a limited term, not to be extended without the approval of the local board, and also that the temporary managers should not be allowed to make permanent hires and permanent program changes, again, without the approval of the local board.
Mal, for the purposes of the stream, would you identify yourself, your station, and read your motion for any who may be listening in?
Mal Bernstein, KPFA. Resolved that whenever the bylaws address the hiring, supervision, evaluation, and removal of management personnel, the role of the local station board shall be the same, whether the appointment is considered interim, which shall not exceed 6 months, or permanent. Management positions that are temporary or acting shall not exceed 3 months in duration, and no such appointments shall be made without the approval, paren, providing for review and recommendation, paren, of the local station board. Be it further, be it resolved that temporary slash acting and interim general managers may not make permanent hires, and temporary slash acting and interim program directors may not make permanent program changes without the explicit approval of the process by the local station board.
Is there any further motivation you'd like to add on to your motion?
Well, at KPFA, we're in the strange position of the local board having nothing to say about who's been managing the station, what program changes are made, what hires or fires are done, and we might as well be potted palms.
How long has that person been interim?
Well, the current interim general manager has been in about 7 months, but before that there was no general manager for over a year.
Okay.
And your station board has gone through the search process and submitted names to the...
We did that previously, and someone was selected, but he took one look at the station and he quit after 3 days. And so from then on, which is February, we've had temporary or interim management.
Would you identify yourself, Tony, in the station?
Tony Norman, WPFA.
Any further discussion on the motion?
Hi,
John Wenger, KPFK.
Okay. Let me take a stack. Okay, John. Who else?
Yeah, in Los Angeles, we have potted palms, too. I support your motion.
Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else for the stack?
Bob.
Bob.
Hi, this is
Anyone
Bob.
Anyone else? Okay.
This is Bob Lederer from WBAI, LSB. And, yes, I also support the motion because we at WBAI have had this history, too. It's not the current situation, although actually, I take that back. It's not the current situation with the general manager, but it is with the program director. He is the current occupant, has been in that position for almost 2.5 years.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, the LSB had absolutely zero say at any point then. And plus, we have a long history ever since I've been on the board. There's been, I think, 2 or 3 instances where interim GMs were in place for months at a time. In one case, actually, the PNB insisted that there be time for a search committee for the interim GM. That process went forward, and then the executive director at the time just basically ignored it and appointed someone who hadn't gone through the process. So the point is that we need a procedure. There is none in place. Every ED has, who I have heard express an opinion, has said, well, it's not, there's no policy requiring me to submit the name to the LSB, so I don't have to. So this would, by passing this, finally there would be that policy, which, as far as I'm concerned, carries out the intent of the bylaws. The bylaws didn't say only permanent GMs and PDs. It said, you know, general managers and program directors should go through this search process with LSB involvement. So, yeah, I do support that. I do have one suggested wording change. It's minor, but I think it could avoid confusion, if I may. In the last sentence of the first paragraph, it says, management positions that are temporary or acting shall not exceed 3 months in duration, and no such appointments will be made without the approval, and then it has a parenthetical phrase, providing for review and recommendation, close parenthesis, of the LSB. And I think that's a little confusing, because I believe, and Mal, you can correct me if I'm wrong, isn't your intent here to say that for the temporary or acting, which is the short term, not the full-fledged interim,
right,
that the LSB doesn't have to go through the whole process of a search and submit a pool of names, nor does it have to vote formally on, you know, whether to approve a candidate, but simply to have an opportunity to weigh in and say, well, you know, the person you're, the ED is nominating, you know, we have concerns about or we think is fine or whatever, and then the ED can still do what she or he
yes.
wants. So I'm suggesting deleting the word approval or the approval. So it would read, no such appointments will be made without providing for review and recommendation of the LSB.
Okay. I accept that.
And this is Sasha with a question.
Okay, Sasha?
Yes.
Would you please identify yourself and your station?
APFA.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is the 3 months just if the ED appoints someone that they can only be there for 3 months without our approval, or is 3 months the supposed to be the tenure of that IGM? Because
that,
it's impossible to do a search in 3 months for a permanent.
Well, I make a distinction between interim and temporary or acting. Temporary or acting should be no more than 3 months.
And that
interim GM has a longer tenure.
Okay, I'm a little confused about that. Is there such a distinction actually in the bylaws between acting temporary and...
Well, there is in this resolution. The first paragraph reads, whether the appointment is considered interim dash, which shall not exceed 6 months dash, or permanent. And then it goes on to say management positions that are temporary or acting shall not exceed 3 months.
Okay, and all of which has to be approved by the LSB?
No, it has to be vetted and a recommendation sought.
From the LSB before, so no appointment can be made without going to the LSB first.
Right.
So I don't have the resolution in front of me, but I'm wondering if that's crystal clear. Maybe other people can look.
Would you reread the motion, Mal, with
sure.
the correction?
Resolved that whenever the bylaws address the hiring, supervision, evaluation, and removal of management personnel, the role of the LSB shall be the same, whether the appointment is considered interim, dash, which shall not exceed 6 months, dash, or permanent. Management positions that are temporary or acting shall not exceed 3 months in duration, and no such appointments will be made without providing for review and recommendation of the LSB. Further, be it resolved that temporary slash acting and interim general managers may not make permanent hires, and temporary slash acting and interim program directors may not make permanent program changes without the explicit approval of the process by the LSB.
Okay. What about interim program directors that are appointed?
Well, since the LSB doesn't have the power to recommend those, but...
My understanding is we put together a pool for the GM.
Yes, we submit a pool to the general manager.
So can there be an IPD that circumvents the LSB process?
Yes.
This is Bob.
Oh, we should plug that.
Yeah.
Can I give an answer?
Sure.
To the question. The way I read this motion and what makes sense to me is, since the bylaws have a very similar process for both GMs and PDs, then this motion says for both processes, the rules will be the same for interims as they are currently practiced for permanents.
Okay, whether they be a general manager?
A GM or a PD, right. Because
so
in both cases, the bylaws says that the LSB should come up with the pool. So
I want to make that clear, because in our case, it's been circumvented twice, both for the IGM and the IPD.
Well, maybe that's a good point, Sasha. Maybe we should just, so nobody's confused, after the first mention in the first phrase where it says the bylaws address hiring, supervision, evaluation, and removal of management personnel, maybe we should put a parenthesis: general manager and program director.
Program director. Fine.
Just to spell it really out really
Fine.
Clearly.
Okay.
And
I accept that.
Okay. And the other question Sasha had, I'll just give my best recollection from having been around Pacifica a few years. You asked, is there a reference to this terminology of temporary or acting in the bylaws? No, it's not in the bylaws, but in the years I've been at Pacifica, it's frequently used when there's some sort of very immediate situation that, you know, a vacancy has suddenly come up for whatever reason, and so it needs to be filled. And so it's not a full-fledged interim. It's sort of a bridge person, and that person is almost always referred to as either temporary or acting. So it's a pretty – and it might even be in Pacifica personnel procedures. That I have. It's been a while since I've looked at the procedure manual, but certainly the titles have been widely used in the instances that this motion refers to.
We need to spell that out, though. I mean, we're dealing with, you know, there are a lot of people who play games with language.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering...
Bob's suggestion of putting the VRN in is fine.
Well,
John Wenger, cue, please.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, at KPFK, I've been annoyed by the observation that we're top-heavy with managers. And so we have, I think, six managers. And this has always bothered me because I favor a flatter management structure. But we have at least four other managers. We have a finance manager. We've got a development director manager. We've got a subscriptions director manager. We have an operations director manager. I might be forgetting one or two, but it's always just bothering me. We have so many managers, and these managers get appointed by our interim GM. We had an interim GM for more than a year, and this guy was our radio engineer, and he was interested in maintaining the signal and not much else, and so consequently, he just appointed away and did all this stuff, and the LSB was sitting there being potted palms, but I would say we were fuming palms, but we were potted nonetheless. And so I wonder whether, I mean, we specifically want to include the GM and PD. Those two are crucial, but I wonder if you want to exclude all those other ones, because there's a lot of loopholes there if they want to play games there.
But in the bylaws.
Anyone else in the stack? Okay, just identify yourself. I'm not sure people have picked up your voice.
That's good. It's good. Identify.
Go ahead, Bob.
Oh, thanks. Okay. Well, yeah, just in answer to John's point, that, you know, that might be an interesting idea, but the bylaws only gives power to the LSB over these two specifically named positions of GM and PD. It doesn't give any input into hiring for any other management position. So we really, I don't see where we would have the authority to now impose some sort of LSB input. I mean, there's a whole different question that could be raised maybe at a later point in a separate motion about having staff input into management hires, which has been the practice at WBAI for many, many years, although in recent years it's been negated. But that's a somewhat different issue than the LSB, because the LSB is established pursuant to the bylaws and has specific powers, and I don't think we have the ability to expand those powers.
Sasha for the stack. Sasha for the stack.
Okay, Sasha.
Well, I'm wondering. I don't know whether this should be added to this particular resolution, but I think that raises an interesting point was raised. And I'm wondering whether some sort of statement could be made that no interim general manager can appoint a permanent person to any management, you know, position within a station. So an interim, you know, an IGM or a temporary or an acting certainly cannot actually be a permanent, say, business manager. They could hire someone temporarily without any input from the LSB, but that they specifically, you know, should not be a
From my reading of this motion, Sasha, that's already covered.
Okay.
Maybe Mel can read that.
Second paragraph.
Okay.
Mel, why don't you read that?
I don't have it in front of me.
Sasha doesn't have it
handy. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Reread it.
The second paragraph is, further be it resolved that temporary / acting and interim general managers may not make permanent hires, and temporary / acting and interim program directors may not make permanent program changes without the explicit approval of the process by the LSB.
Sounds good to me.
And I think that would satisfy Tony's or John's concern about what has been happening at Kay.
Yes, it would. Interims can make interim appointments, nothing else.
Yes.
Anyone
okay.
else to the stack? Is there a call for the vote?
Yes.
Okay.
It's unanimous.
This is Sasha calling the question.
Thank you, Sasha.
Can I pass without objection?
No,
yeah,
I was
absolutely.
Just hoping if somebody could mute their doggy.
I'd love to
their telephone.
Doggy. Let me see. I have out a new phone. Let me see if I can figure out how to mute it if he barks. Okay.
Oh, but if it's too difficult, forget about it if it's too difficult. If you want
don't,
me to call the roll.
Don't mute the phone, Sasha. Mute the dog.
Just the dog.
No.
Okay.
Okay, so, I understand the reason for the roll call vote because you're
oh, okay.
on the stream, and so you need to identify.
Okay.
Shall I call? Let's see.
You call roll.
So
yeah.
a yes means you agree with this Mal's proposal on the table, and no that you disagree. Okay.
Yeah.
Bob Letter, WBAI.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Marcel Reed, WPFW?
I don't vote. I chair, so I don't vote.
Oh, really?
You can vote You can vote for ties and the MGTOW.
Yeah, for ties, but
well,
we don't have a tie.
Okay.
Can I just give a point of parliamentary procedure? Actually,
oh, yes,
under Robert's rules, because I've looked into this, unlike in a full board, a committee like this, the chair actually can vote, not that. You know, you have to, but that you can, and not just in the case of a tie. It's a different set of rules than for a full board.
Okay. Okay. Well, I'd rather pass until.
Yeah. No, that's.
Okay. Pass.
One question, though. No. Pardon me for interrupting. Just a point of clarification. I hate to do this. It's embarrassing, supposedly chairing the meeting. But I believe that Mal's original motion, which has now been amended.
Amended.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, you know, because. We're not voting on actually what was on the agenda. We're voting on the amended motion. So I think I want to make sure that I'm correct with everyone here. I believe that we vote on whether or not to accept the original motion, you know, replace it with the amended motion, and then we vote on the amended motion.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Right.
Is that correct? Because I don't want it to fail because someone says we voted on an amended motion, and we didn't vote on the original motion because, you know, that is the very next thing
correct,
that has come up.
Marcel.
And this is on the stream.
Well,
okay.
This is Bob. Can I give my take on it? Again, just
yes.
having read Robert's Rules a lot. This is really an amendment. It's not a substitute motion. It's changing
okay.
a few words. So the way amendments are handled is that they either come to a vote, but the chair always has the authority if she or he detects that there's no opposition to ask, is there any objection, and forego the roll call. So that could be...
Well, I will ask that. Is there any objection to the substitutions made to this motion?
The amendment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the amendment. Because I know that this will come up as soon as this is
right.
listened to. Okay. All right. Okay, hearing none, then let's go ahead with the regular vote, Nancy. Forgive
okay,
me for
interrupting.
It will be the vote on the motion as just amended.
Okay, on Mal's proposal as just amended. Bob Letter?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Marcel Reed?
Well,
Pat?
Yes. But, yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Yes to yes. All right. Nancy Cyber and Itomi, a yes. Sasha Futran? Yes. Okay, Tony Norman of CCTFW. Yes. And Mal Bernstein.
Yes.
And John Winger.
Yes.
Ooh, wow. do we have anybody else? I'm sorry. I need to call the rest of the names that are not here, right? Brenda Medina. No, the other people that are not here, I need to call them?
Yes.
Okay. Brenda Medina. R. Paul Martin. No. Jessica Polinar. No. Okay. Kathy Davis. Gail Dixon. Tracy Rosenberg. Brenda Medina. Oh, I already said her. I'm sorry. I already said her. Okay. Who have I not asked? I'm so sorry.
And I think they're just absent. They're not now.
6 plus 7 is 13. No, we got them all. 6 absent and 7 here. That's 13. 13 of us. Except
then the
Kevin
motion
White,
passes.
Kevin White. Yeah,
well, he's resigned, right? Okay, then the motion passes unanimously.
Yes.
Great.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hooray.
Okay. Well, that's out the way. We've accomplished that. Now let's move on to the next item on the agenda, which is quorum issues. Let me read these for the people on the stream. How many meetings called that miss quorum before committee is reorganized? And how long after the board is slated before a committee must meet and reach quorum? And see no quorum minutes. Okay. I believe this was added on the agenda by you, Nancy. Would you like to explain why you wanted this on the agenda? It's not a motion. You don't have to motivate it. I just simply thought you might like to explain.
I worded it wrong. I just wanted to know, about the definition of no quorum, and how many of the no quorums absentee people can attend? I mean, I'm changing it, aren't I? I'm sorry. I feel we have a problem here about too many no quorums and the same people not coming, so only the quorum meetings are counted. And they'd be missing lots of meetings in between. I don't know how to say this.
I think it's a drag on the board, Nancy. I agree with you.
That's what I wanted. Yes,
yeah. It's a drag on the business of the board because we have too many committees. We still have committees right now that have conveners that don't have chairs. For whatever reason, the committee has not built the steam to even elect chairs or co-chairs. And so they're still meeting under conveners, and we're nearly at the end of the year. And some committees have never passed a single motion out of them. And I think that it does not serve the board, so it does not serve the foundation to have these ineffective committees stand, sometimes 6 and 7 months without accomplishing anything.
John Winger, Q.
Absolutely.
I've got to run. This is John Winger from KPFK. I've got to leave the call right now.
All right.
So two quick things. I thank you for having such a wonderful meeting, moving so quickly, making a unanimous decision, which I was part of. I'm happy to see that. And number two, I support the thrust of this intended motion. I agree with that. And if I were here to vote for it, I undoubtedly would vote for it if it came out even halfway reasonable. But I think you're on the right track, and I look forward to meeting with you next time.
Thank you.
So thanks.
23rd.
Okay.
Wednesday.
Okay, very good. Okay.
No,
bye-bye.
It's not 23rd.
No,
it's the 28th. 28th. It is the 28th.
Monday.
Yeah.
Monday.
Yeah, it's the 28th. It is not the 23rd. All right.
That's
okay.
November.
Bob to the stack. Okay.
November, December 28th?
November.
November 28th. Okay. Bye-bye.
November 28th.
Thank you.
8:30, November 28th. Okay, Bob, who else is to the stack?
Mal.
Mal. Anyone else?
Sasha.
Sasha. Anyone else? Okay. Bob?
Well, actually, just a quick clarification about our next meeting date. I believe we didn't discuss that on the stream call. I think we had some informal discussion off the stream. So after we finish this item about quorums, we need to formally, you know, pick
absolutely,
that
so that it's on the stream. All right.
Okay, good.
That's all for now.
Okay.
Am I up then?
Yes, Mal.
Okay.
Please identify yourself and your station.
Mal Bernstein, KPFA. I very much agree with this, with having this topic before us, because it's very disconcerting, those of us who get on every call and then have to sit and wait and nobody shows up or nobody shows up for a long time. It's very disrespectful and discourteous to us as well as to their station and the foundation. So I would like to see a policy where three unexcused absences means you have resigned.
Bob.
All right. Bob? Bob after Sasha. Sasha?
Yes, Sasha, KTFA. I think that's excellent, and I think we shouldn't be so quick as we are at the LSB to excuse absences. I mean, if people don't contact you with, you know, an explanation of being why they're absent, that seems reasonable. I'm wondering, you know, one of the issues it seems to me is that there seem to be an awful lot of committees on the PMB, and there seem to be some people who are on an awful lot of committees. And all of that is just sort of, you know, looking for a problem with people actually showing up. So I'm wondering if we can make any kind of a governance, you know, and I think this is something that would need some careful thought and some research, which, you know, I clearly have not done. But it would seem to me that we ought to be considering whether we really need, whether the PMB ought to be looking into whether they really need all those committees and whether there should be a limit to how many committees a member can be on. And I suppose that depends on, and one of the PMB members can help out with this, do the committees all have the same number of people on them? This seems like an awfully large committee. How many are PMB members and how many are, you know, elected by stations? Is it two per station plus how many PMB members?
This is Bob. I can do that.
Oh, go ahead, Bob.
Okay. Yeah, the bylaws sets this entire structure up in great detail. And what it says is that it names a set of committees. I'll pull it up on screen in a minute. I can tell you how many. I don't remember. But anyway, there's a group of named committees, and they all have an identical structure, which is one PNB director from each station elected by the PNB as a whole and two LSB members elected by the LSB through an STV election. So that makes it 15 total, plus, although it's not mentioned in the bylaws, it's always been allowed that if either of the two affiliate directors on the PNB want to join any committee, they're welcome to join as well. So that's the structure of the named committees, with the exception of finance, which has a different structure. Well, actually, two of them, finance and coordinating, which finance is just one director from each station elected by the PNB and one and the treasurer of each local station. And then coordinating, I believe, is one director from each station elected by the full board plus all the officers of the PNB. And then since the bylaws were written, the board has occasionally established task forces, which are, because they're informal, they don't fall under that rigid structure, and they've generally been by volunteering. So the affiliates task force, although I think that in maybe last year, perhaps one of you directors can clarify that changed last year. But I think there's some others, like maybe the archives task force is just whoever wants to volunteer from either the PNB or the LSB. So that's my understanding of the current structure.
And how many, do you know how many committees there are currently?
Yeah, okay, I now pulled it up on screen. Okay, so we got coordinating, which I explained is a special structure. Then we have governance, technology, programming, Finance has a special structure, and that's it. And then since then, the board established, and audit. Since then, since the bylaws, the board established by resolution the elections committee and the personnel committee. The personnel committee is one director from each of the five stations elected by the full board, and elections is the same 15-member structure as the standing committees, you know, one director and two LSB members.
I believe this one committee you forgot, Bob,
okay.
And that is the race.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
I did forget because it hasn't met in so long, to my knowledge, or at least I haven't heard any reports from it. But,
well, back to our underlying question.
Right.
So they're
Committee on Discrimination, racial and gender, and other forms of discrimination. Right?
Yeah, so that's
and then
eight.
The committees of inclusion, which
eight
are,
or nine committees, two of which have special structures.
Right. Plus, we can't forget the committees of inclusion, which, although they are elected from local people and function at a local station, they're technically committees of the PNB.
Yes.
They're consisting of one director and three LSB members and any additional members that those four initial people want to elect. And those deal with issues of representation or underrepresentation of communities on, you know, in programming and elections and staffing.
So I believe we're up to nine.
Right.
Yeah, so we're up to nine.
That's a lot. It's a bit
two
much.
Task forces,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Yeah, two task forces. And then you have these ad hoc things this year, like the...
FRAT.
Yeah. What is that again? What does that stand for?
FRAT. The FRAT committee.
What's that?
What's the initial stand for?
The finance,
fundraising.
Yeah. I forgot what the rest of the acronym is for, but
it's a lot going on.
Yeah. Yeah. And we do have directors who are serving on as many as five of these committees sometimes.
Ooh. Now, can I add one other thing that Mal made reference to, that he said it would be good to have a rule about unexcused absences? Actually, from very early on, from the first elected board in 2004, there has been a rule, which is still standing, that it doesn't even say unexcused. Just says three consecutive absences by a committee member mean their automatic removal. However, there was a later motion that the governance committee recommended and got passed by the board that said because there were instances where people were actually removed from a committee and said that they had never even been notified that there were meetings, so that's why they weren't on the call, because nobody ever emailed them or called them. So now the standing policy as of a couple of years ago is after the second consecutive absence, the committee chair is to both email and call the member and warn them that they're at risk of being removed if they don't come to the next meeting. So that's standing policy.
Does that automatically apply to us?
Yes, automatically.
Mm-hmm. It applies to every committee.
Right.
We do have members that are already gone. I do understand. Okay.
I have a question. Three absences or three unexcused absences. These absences, they only count for quorum meetings. They don't count for the non-quorum.
Right, because under Robert's rules, you can't really keep an attendance record for a meeting that didn't happen.
Well, see, when the quorum is high, and then they don't come, and it doesn't make quorum. That's the reason it doesn't make quorum, isn't it? Because they don't come.
No. And it is a catch-22. It's a problem.
Well,
I agree.
We can, I think, adopt a more stringent provision, which deals with non-attendance at noticed meetings, whether or not a quorum is eventually obtained in those meetings.
That's true. Yeah, I suppose that is within our authority. I mean, within the board's authority, we can only recommend to the board.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, it seems to me we can adopt it for ourselves without putting it through the board.
No, committees can't make up their own rules. Only the
they
board
can't?
Can,
oh, okay.
No, only the
well,
board
then,
can set
then,
the rules. But we could recommend to the board
all
a
right.
certain policy.
That's all the more reason, then, that I really want to make this as a formal motion that three unexcused absences for noticed meetings constitutes an ouster.
Constitutes removal?
Well, it constitutes resignation from the committee.
Will be considered an automatic resignation.
Yeah.
Who would like to make some? This is your motion, Mal.
If someone else would like to make it, I'd be happy. But if no one does, then I will make it.
Would you like to read the motion so that the stream can hear the motion?
Well, let's see. Be it resolved that the PNB Governance Committee recommends to the PNB the following. For the Governance Committee, three unexcused absences from properly noticed meetings constitutes resignation from the committee.
Do we want to do it for just the Governance Committee or for all committees?
No, he's making it for all committees, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, I'm really interested in the Governance Committee. If the PNB would like to make that for all committees, that would be fine, but I'm really interested in getting that adopted for our committee so that we have fewer wasted phone calls.
Excuse me, this is Gail. I'm sorry, I'm just getting with you.
Hello, Gail.
Hi,
Kim.
Hi.
Just very quickly, Gail, Mal is proposing a motion right now. Mal, and you might like to read the motion to Gail so that she's aware of it.
Be it resolved that the PNB Governance Committee recommends to the PNB that three unexcused absences from, we'll say, any committee from a properly noticed meeting constitutes resignation from that committee.
We're talking about these teleconference committees, not in-person meetings.
Well, both, but since we never have in-person meetings, it's really applies to the teleconference.
Well, Marcel meetings. Knows why I'm saying that.
Yes, I'm well aware of why you're saying that.
Okay.
Okay, and properly noticed scale is something different too.
You can't just call a meeting on 20 minutes notice and then expect everyone to make it.
Oh no, I agree with that.
Or if they never make it onto the committee's email list, such as the problems.
Right, exactly.
Expect that person to.
Then they're not.
For a meeting.
Properly noticed either. Correct.
So I think the problem.
I'm going to have to leave the call now to go to another meeting. So I will leave it in your expert hands, everybody, and I will see you on the 28th.
Well, Mal, can I ask you a quick thing before you go? This is Bob Lederer.
Yeah.
I assume you meant to say three consecutive unexcused absences.
No, I did not.
Uh-huh.
I deliberately did not. I'm, of course, open to argument the other way.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, my feeling right now is that this might be a good policy, but I don't feel prepared to vote tonight. I think we have to think about it. I want to look at the existing policy and see how it compares.
Fine.
But I tend to lean to the idea I would really be opposed to three absences. Because then that means that people who have all kinds of legitimate things over a period of an entire year, which is the term on a committee, that may come up would kick them off a committee unjustly. I think consecutive is a different story.
Well, but the point is the motion uses the word unexcused. And certainly our policy at KPFA is if you tell us in advance that you can't make it for any reason other than I don't want to be there, that is excused. So that over a year anyone can miss meeting or two or three or four if there's a reason for it. at least you've notified us or the chair, and we just excuse you.
Okay, well, I guess I'm going to make a... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, why don't you folks talk about it and think about it, and if you want to change it, fine. And I will see you on the 28th.
All right.
Well,
happy
Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Oh, bye-bye.
All right. Mal can submit his motion in writing for us to review. I think it's very difficult to know exactly what you're voting on sometime if you haven't had a chance to read it and absorb it, which is why I sent Mal's motion around so often, because I wanted everyone to read it. And you know, even if you didn't have it in front of you, at least you had an opportunity to read it.
Nancy, KPFT, can I say something about this
Certainly.
Motion? I wonder if Mal or if we had considered if somebody misses, but they have a legitimate excuse, like our phone went dead and they're in the car, or, you know, later on we could reconsider their excuse, their absence as being excused, or something all of a sudden in their family happens. So I think we better be think a delicate detail there to add in. I think consecutive is a much more forgiving, much more acceptable, and more humanistic, I think, than excuse absences. I mean, it's consecutive.
Well,
just
very quickly, Nancy, I think that's a very good idea, but I think that this was initially Mal's motion. He's not here now. He's left the call. And I think that we have some question with it. So I suggest that we just table it. We table it. He's had a chance to write it, and then we can read it and see whether or not we want it added onto the agenda for our next meeting.
This is Sasha. I just questioned, do we want to table it? Because my understanding is to get it off
yeah.
people might
yeah.
take a larger vote.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So what would you like to do since Mal is not here to complete this?
Yes, can I?
Discussion until next month. So,
all right.
28.
28. 28.
Next time.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Well, let's go to B then. And I'll go ahead and read that, because I think that's equally important, because it does slow down the business of the board. How long after the board is slated before a committee must meet and reach quorum? Now, I've sat on committees last year, and we didn't meet quorum for 4 or 5 months.
We had 3 months at KPFT, our governance. No quorum for 3 months.
Would someone like to make a motion to that effect? Or?
I'm sorry, myself. Can you read that again?
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to. Yeah.
I think there's a mistaken word, which is confusing. I think they meant to write seated, not slated.
Oh, seated. All right. How long after the board is seated before a committee must meet and reach quorum?
How long?
Well, how about how long after a committee membership has been elected? Or are we? Because, you know, some stations get around to that sooner and some are a little slower.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it doesn't always happen at the same month at each station, although it should. But sometimes it just doesn't for whatever reason.
But even allowing for that, how long, you know.
Well, my question is, what could be done about it? I mean, how can you force, if people are not showing up? I mean, it sort of goes back to the previous discussion. If people have been elected to sit, and they're not coming, aside from, you know, this mechanism of three strikes and you're out, then what else can you do to force people to be there?
This is Sasha, KPFA.
Yes, Sasha.
Yeah, I think the intent of that is really to help circumvent the problem, or at least if people are, if the committee has not been able to meet, and you know, we're 5-6 months into a year, that the committee membership needs to be sent back to their individual boards for election. But that, of course, does not speed up the process. But and I don't know if it's redundant, given you know the other motion we're thinking about.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this?
I'm just trying to absorb what that statement really is saying. I need to think about that a bit more.
Okay. Is there anyone else for the SAC? Or?
This is Bob.
All right, Bob.
I could take a stab at it for Gail's benefit. I think that the problem that we're all grappling with is that you have committees that of 15 people that get elected, let's say, in February, or you know maybe sometimes it takes till March before their LSB elects those people to the committee. And then the convener appointed by the board chair, the PNB chair, that is, tries to call a meeting or does call a meeting, and you know, there's just not enough people. There's not 8 people, which is the quorum on a 15-member committee, who come onto the call, and this happens month after month after month. And so the question we're wrestling with is, what can we do anything to get these committees up and running sooner in the year than in some cases it's been 3, 4, 5 months before the committee has its first conference call of the year. So it's a very real problem. I'm just at a loss to figure out a solution, but it definitely is slowing down business.
Can we change the quorum after 2 or 1 or 2 meetings with no quorum? Can we change the quorum temporarily or in a way that's fair so that we can have a official meeting and not be hung up and unable to do anything because except discussion? We can still do discussion, but we can't do anything legislatively because, I mean, at KPFT, the governance meeting was just held up for months and months, and one member came only 2 times and kept the quorum up high. I don't think that's fair, and I think sometimes it's perhaps could be used to be, you know, stalling things or interfering things on purpose, and that's really not fair. I mean, we ought to be able to create something. I just at a loss of what to create. I thought maybe somebody else had a good idea.
Would you also like to table this until or postpone this until our next meeting on the 28th so people can think about it?
Yes, and that's why I brought it up. The people in this committee, I thought maybe you would have something in your you know, creativity to help this problem.
Okay, so we'll carry this over to the next agenda. Okay, and C under this is no quorum minutes. So it means that any of the business that we get that is accomplished under a meeting without a quorum, we don't really have formal minutes for it.
Well,
is that what I understand?
Nancy of KPFT, I think in Robert's Rule of Orders, doesn't it say we can make a note or report about roll call taken and no quorum was achieved?
You can do that, but you can't vote on any motions or anything
like
that.
Yes, but that's what I think we should do. Then we have a record, and then we could add what's up to the secretary if they have time and energy to do it. Add some important discussion that was made. So there is a record that we did meet, and then the record of people who did participate and record of people who could not participate. And it's not to give, you know, bad grades to the ones who didn't make it, but, you know, it should be a record that we did something. Some people got together and did something, I think, but
Tracy said it's not a meeting, so we don't need minutes. But, oh, and here I'm late with minutes, and I'm thinking about adding more minutes. But but I just feel that would be, would it be important? I think so, but how
do you... It's Gail. I can't admit, as far as I'm concerned, there should always be some some kind of record of, you know, if people come together, whether there's a quorum or not, and there's discussion, there should be some minutes. There certainly has to be a roll call. There has to be some kind of attendance call, because eventually some of that will have to be used in order to change what isn't happening.